Hello, darling Rage Nation. Today on the show, I am so excited to introduce you to our episode 12 of the Rad as Fuck Women series guest, Coach Lexi. She's a women's health and empowerment coach, and she has a seriously incredible story to share. We talk about how growing up as a minority and trying to fit in impacted her life. She shares her journey through some really intense twists and turns, including drug use and abusive relationships, and how that road has led her to encourage and empower other women. This episode is so good, you guys. I will say, though, that there is some language in this episode. I mean, let's be real, there's always a little bit of language because that just happens. But there are also a few adult themes in this episode, so just be aware if you have kiddos around, you might want to have headphones in. But seriously, though, this conversation is amazing. We hit on so many common struggles that women have, as well as finding your confidence in your body and your voice, which is something that we can talk about all day long till the cows come home. It is a great conversation. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. And so here we go. Without further ado, Coach Lexi. Hello, Darling Rage Nation. This is your host, Molly, aka D-Rage, because it just makes sense. Today on the Rad as Fuck Women series, we are talking to Lexi, who is a coach and just all around badass. This is our first time speaking, so I'm really excited to talk to her. Hi, Lexi.
Hey, what's going on, Molly?
Not much. I'm super happy that you decided to come on the podcast. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm pumped.
Absolutely. So for me, as well as everyone in the audience who might not know you, can you just introduce yourself, talk about what you do?
Right on. Yeah. So my name is Lexi. A lot of folks know me as Coach Lexi. And I am a women's health coach. So I really just inspire young ladies to get confident, feel empowered, and live super healthy lives. So that's what I'm doing.
Love it. And I love that you're specifically a women's health coach because it goes with the theme of like rad as fuck women.
So. Yeah. Hell yeah.
So we'll talk all things women, and my audience is used to like the swear words flying around every once in a while. So fuck, no worries yeah. about that. I love that before when we were kind of talking about scheduling the interview, you're like, is it okay to like say the F word? I was like, fuck yes, it is.
Yes, I know. I don't know if you saw my station, but I was like, mine says I like to say fuck a lot. So.
Yes, I did say that. It brought a smile to my face. Well, so going along with that theme, you said that you like to coach women and kind of empower them. What is there like a specific process that you go through with women or a specific part of coaching that you focus on?
Yeah, really. Well, I just kind of got into coaching this last year. Mm-hmm. So mainly, yeah, I just focus on mostly like body image because a lot of us ladies have issues with body image. You know, in the media, you see it on social media, Instagram all the time, all these hot chicks on there. Mm-hmm. And it makes us kind of like not feel so great about ourselves. So we really focus on that self-confidence part, having the self-love for yourself. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, just getting healthier. A lot of ladies want to get healthy, you know, it's the beginning of the year, especially a lot of ladies want to get healthy, feel good about themselves. So it does start on the inside, but we do want to look good on the outside as well. So we focus on healthy lifestyle.
Awesome. Right on. And yeah. So how did you get into that?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, well, I just actually quit my real job this past year. So in December, I started coaching really full time. Prior to that, I was in the corporate world for 14 years. Mm-hmm. So I just been like coaching here and there, kind of in between, you know, working the 9 to 5. I would, you know, do this at night and that sort of thing. And I kind of gained some balls, or I tell my husband I got a vagina and I started
yes.
pursuing my dreams full time.
Let's so. Make that a thing.
Yeah.
Why is it that we always say ballsy when I we know. Talk about confidence? There right. should be a better word like vagina-y.
I know. That's I told my husband that the other day. I said, He's like, well, you're kind of right, because if I ever sit on my balls, I just am like hurting all day long. And I'm like, yeah, well, vaginas are way stronger.
Right. Well, it's actually funny. I don't know if you've ever seen, like, Trevor Noah has like this amazing comedy routine where he talks about that. And like, it's so true. He's like, I don't understand why we talk about things as being ballsy, because it's like, you could like lightly hit that thing and it's like done for. Meanwhile, women are over here like pushing human beings out of their
exactly.
So true. I love it. So, and I also wanted to come back to the point. I think it's funny that you called your corporate 9-to-5 your quote unquote real job.
Yeah.
Because I think it's interesting that we still do that. Like, we're so trained to be like, yeah, it's only a real job if it looks like this, you know, and be apologetic if it's ever anything outside of the box. But it, I mean, part of the reason that this is such a great time for us to be alive is that there's so many outlets for us to run our own business and start our own things and like be our own boss, and it can look however the fuck we want it to look.
exactly. Yeah.
So how has that journey really like impacted you? Well, actually, let's back up. Like, tell me more about like younger Lexi and a little more of like your life journey and how that's turned into where you're at today.
Yeah, well, you know, of course, all of our background makes us who we are today.
Absolutely.
We can start from kind of the beginning. I grew up part of my life in Cleveland, Ohio. My parents picked up and moved us from there to the ghetto of Cleveland to Aurora, Colorado.
Wow.
So I know. My dad works for the government, and he was like, all right, we're moving out of the ghetto. It was like a big deal. So
must have been like culture shock. Like, state to state is so different.
It totally was. Yeah. So we went from, you know, living in Cleveland on the east side of Cleveland to Aurora, Colorado. And, you know, you hear about Aurora in the news and not the best things, you know, as far as like shooting or whatever. We'll get into that later. Yeah. So we moved to Aurora in 93. So I was in grade school. We were basically the only family of color in our neighborhood, which is kind of crazy when we initially moved there. So it was a huge culture shock for me. I tell folks all the time, you know, I never realized what color was until I moved there. You know, people made it apparent because I'm mixed. So my mom's Puerto Rican, my dad is Brazilian. So I have a very unique look about me, and nobody ever pointed that out until we moved to Aurora, you know.
Right. So all of a sudden you were like the spicy one or whatever
and you know, I stand out like a sore thumb. I have green eyes and my hair is, you know, out to here, and you know, kids made it apparent back in the day, well, you look different, your hair is, you know, crazy and it's curly and all of that. So I had, you know, issues growing up when I was younger about my hair. So my mom started straightening my hair at a young age, you know, with chemicals, because I wanted to fit in, you know, I wanted to look like everybody else. So I kind of went through that in my younger years. In high school, I was super active, had a boyfriend mostly throughout high school, dated the same guy. But, you know, it was kind of like, I had that good family upbringing, I guess you could say. My parents stayed together. I had an older sister. So everything at home was okay. I really don't ever feel like I had a voice at home. So I started, you know, dating boys and kind of getting into that. Let's see. After high school, I was still kind of with my high school sweetheart for a little while. And then I had a turning point in my life, like, because he like started cheating on me, and I was like, what the F, you know? And that happened in my life, and that was kind of a trickle down effect of me starting to date a bunch of men, you know, being a player. I started partying a lot. I ended up into, you know, a lot of drugs. I started doing cocaine, and then I became a stripper. I know this is a lot. Totally crazy.
But thank you for sharing. I love hearing all of it. I never want like anyone to censor their story at all.
Uncensored. So at one point I became a stripper. So I was like dancing, and there was just something that I felt like I wanted the attention, you know. I think that's why I became a stripper, because I was just like, oh, I want attention. I want I want men to like me, you know, and almost like, you know, from that past relationship that kind of ruined me, you know, I wanted that attention. I wanted to gain that attention from men. And let's see, I ended up dating a crazy guy that kind of got me into cocaine and that kind of stuff. And a big turning point there was, you know, when he threatened to kill me. You know, he locked me in a room in our home that we had together. And he's like, if you leave me, I'm going to kill you. And that was another big turning point in my life.
How did that affect you?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, there's lots of other things going on, but that specifically is real intense for somebody.
Yeah. You know, I kind of had gotten a wild hair at my ass, and I figured out that I didn't want to be with him anymore. And he was like, well, if I can't have you, nobody can, you know, that's that kind of crazy thing. And he pulled a knife out on me, and I pushed him down the stairs. It was just this wild battle. And then I was like, I'm done. Like, at that point, I was like, fuck this. Like, what am I doing to myself? You know, because I saw with my family, they were kind of separating themselves from me. And it wasn't like me, I guess I could say.
Yeah.
So I had to find an outlet, and I went back home for a while. So, I moved to my parents' home. I broke the lease on my home that I had with my boyfriend. And I was like, I needed a fresh, you know, a clean slate. I needed to start over. So in the midst of all this, you know, I was still in my other profession. I was still, you know, my dental career, balancing that and home life was crazy, you know, between that and stripping and having this crazy boyfriend. And then for all of it to kind of just come to a halt when I went to mom.
Right. So. Well, and that's really interesting to me too, that you had like these two different jobs that it feel like you kind of had like alter egos on.
I totally did. I'm glad you brought that up. I felt like I was living two different lives, you know, a life, you know, my 9-to-5 where I was helping people and I was enriching others' lives. And then, you know, at night from 6 to 2, you know, or whatever time, I was this other person seeking attention and being wild. And I don't really know where that all came from, but gosh, it was, well, now I look back and I'm like, oh my gosh, I was crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, it made me, you know, who I am today. And after I went back to my mom's home, I stayed there a few months, and that's kind of when my husband came into my life. So.
Yeah. Wow. That's like, there's so much to your story, and I'm sure like I mean, first of all, thank you again for being vulnerable and open and telling us about all of this, because it's, I mean, I think a lot of the stuff that women have to deal with in public or in secret, a lot of times has a lot of shame attached to it. And I don't think it should, you know, because it's all part of our story and everybody's got shit. So no, I appreciate that. And like, and it's interesting too, because although my story doesn't involve all of the facets of yours, I can relate to the whole going through a breakup when you're still pretty much a kid, and then that translating into like, oh, I must be worthless, so I should probably treat myself that way, even though like you didn't realize it at the time. You start spiraling because you're like, oh well, I need this and this to get attention. So after that, like, so you move home, and tell me about like your journey from that point. How did you get over like the cocaine use? I mean, all of the things that are pretty intense that some people don't survive from.
Yeah. So going home, I had a really honest conversation with my mother, and you know, there's a lot of people that don't get along with their mom or whatever, but I really respect my mom. She's never been a person to be all in my business and that kind of stuff. So when I came to her and really told her what was going on, she's like, well, yeah, I know. I know you've been going through this. I'm like,
moms have a funny way of kind of knowing.
Yeah, I know. She's like, I've known this the whole time. I knew you were in a toxic relationship. She's like, but that wasn't my business. She's like, so I'm glad that you're here. We can figure things out. And, you know, we had that honors conversation about, you know, the things I was doing, the toxic life that I was living. And it just kind of came to a halt, really, at that point. When I moved into back home, you know, there are certain things that you can't do while you're living at home. So the lifestyle that I was living, I wasn't really able to do that anymore. So not that I was addicted to cocaine or anything like that, but it was like, well, I don't have that man in my life that's supplying it.
Right.
I'm not stripping anymore. So I don't feel like I need that alter ego, really. So that in itself kind of just stopped. And then I just started getting back on my feet and figuring out, like, all right, what the fuck am I supposed to do now? You know, get my own place. I had to go buy a car and just kind of get back to, I guess, quote unquote, normal. You know?
Right. And then, I mean, what was that for you? Because it sounds like, I mean, anyone who goes through experience and then you're taken out of that context, which is probably a good thing, right? But mm-hmm. then you're in this next transition of your life and you're like, who the fuck am I?
Yeah, right?
What am I supposed to do now?
Yeah, exactly.
So were you having like those kinds of thoughts and conversations with yourself of like, who am I? Who's Lexi? What's my identity?
You know, I feel like I'm having those more now.
Interesting.
Almost. But then, you know, this has been now 6 years that all of this kind of happened. So at that point, I was just like, you know what? That's just all of that shit just wasn't me. I did it for attention, to be crazy. And it just kind of like ended almost, I could say, when I met my husband, Curtis. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of weird that he was able to, he didn't really help me, but he was just such a good person. And I was just like, oh, I shouldn't have this, you know, lifestyle around him. I mm-hmm. think a lot of what brought me into that shitty lifestyle of the partying and the drugs was the men that I dated. You know, they enabled me to do that. They themselves were addicts, or they were into that lifestyle. So I think having somebody that was enabling me helped mm-hmm. At that point. And then when I met Curtis, he didn't smoke. He didn't even drink alcohol, actually, when we first started talking. And it was like night and day. And, you know, he was in school and he was just a good guy. And I was like, well, this is what the fuck I've been looking for this whole time. You know, I'm right. going to quit all this other shit. You know, this is it, you know? So
this is good.
Yeah, it was good.
I mean, I think that says a lot for like who we surround ourselves with and choose to surround ourselves with and how that can literally change the course of our life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tell Curtis that all the time. I say like, you changed my life. The person I was before you, like, I would be embarrassed to be that person again, you know, around him. But he was a huge turning point in my life. He really did help turn me around.
That's so awesome. And I mean, shout out to Curtis, because he's the reason that we're on this podcast.
Yep.
It's funny because I just put a call out on a bunch of Facebook groups for podcast interviews. And I was like, sorry, dudes, I just want to talk to women.
Right.
I want to do this whole Red as Fuck women series, you know, celebrating the powerful woman in 2018. That's what I'm all about. And your husband was just like, my wife's a powerful woman.
Damn right.
And I was like, hell yes. Let's talk. So thanks, Curtis.
I know. Kudos to Curtis.
Kudos. So that's quite a story. So so then you got into a relationship with Curtis. He's awesome. You guys get married. And then when did your job in the corporate world start? Was that around the same time or?
You know, I had my job in dentistry, because I had always been in dental,
okay.
dental assistant, surgical assistant. That actually started when I was 18. So
okay.
that was like actually right out of high school. I graduated high school, went to dental assisting school, and that had gone on until last year, pretty much.
Okay, just in so that different was the offices. Job that just kind of like continued.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm like blown away. How were you able to balance the two when you had like these alter egos? Because you're like, you were in a job 9 to 5, right? And then you're like doing another job at night. And when did you sleep?
I got a little sleep here and there, and then I did some drugs. Mm-hmm. To keep me awake. So I hate to say that, but you know.
Yeah.
But minimal sleep. I didn't take care of myself at all.
Really. Right. Yeah. And now you're in a place where you've obviously found your worth and your value again, you know, through just getting away from that life, meeting Curtis, all of these things. And so how did you transition then into wanting to become a woman's coach?
Well, the transition came about a year ago. I've always been a listener. And so it's, you know, doing this podcast, even it's a little hard for me to talk about myself. but I've always been a listener. I've always had my girlfriends, even patients at work. People have always wanted to open up to me and talk to me and tell me about their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Even like last year at my last office, one of the assistants was listening to me talk to somebody and they're like, what the fuck did all that come from? I've never heard that patient say that. And I'm like, I don't know. I didn't ask them anything. They just opened up to me. And mm-hmm. I feel like special gift that I've always had in me, but I've never been able to really express that. And I love working with ladies.
Yeah.
So, and I don't feel that with men really. So I was like, I need to do something with this. So I decided to, let's back up a little bit. Curtis was training mm-hmm. and I was like, I want to go to school for nutrition, you know, because I was thinking about getting out of dental.
Yeah.
So I went to IIN, Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And that kind of just started sparking my inner self really. So that school really helped me kind of focus on, you know, health, nutrition, but also getting to know people a little bit more and just really becoming a really good listener. So that kind of was the transition between last year and now, to where I can feel like I'm primarily working with women and just listening to our woes and things that we're going through and kind of expressing that, hey, I've been there. I know what you're going through, and just, you know, making friends with clients, but also just empowering people to be their best self. So,
yeah, absolutely. I love that. And this whole podcast, really, not just this series, is so about empowering people, and especially lately women, and helping them to find their voice. And so mm-hmm. when I say that phrase, finding your voice, what does that make you think of?
Finding my voice for me really just makes me think of just not being afraid.
Mm-hmm.
We all have that, you know, inner voice inside of us that tells us like, what the fuck are you thinking? Or don't do that. And just not necessarily silencing that voice, but just kind of lifting up from that and being like, you know what? I can do this. I can do other things that men can do. And I'm not afraid to do it. And I don't give a fuck what other people think. Mm-hmm. Really. That's really what finding my voice to me really means.
Hell yes. And it's so good and so simple and yet so hard for us to get to a place where we're okay with that. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
It's almost every other woman that I've interviewed so far. There's like always some sense at some point in their journey of like, I realized I could make my own decisions.
Yeah, exactly.
It's great. And it's like, it seems so simple, but it's like you really have to get to a point in your life where either there's like shit going on, or you get desperate enough or sick enough of the old way of just people pleasing, where you're just like, what do I want? That's a great question.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that huge factor of that people pleasing is like, yeah, I want to please other people, but I want to please myself too.
Yeah.
Like, what do I want? You know?
Yeah. And that's huge. I feel like, especially for women, we're so conditioned to be partners and like mm-hmm. so conditioned to make other people comfortable, especially men, where it's like, well, we need to think about everyone else and like sacrifice yeah. ourselves. And then it's like, but you are just as important.
And, absolutely,
you know, so I'm wondering, like, with these women, obviously you have like privacy with all their stories and everything, but has there been anything or like theme that has come out as what have been some of the big stumbling blocks basically with women that you've come across that they've had to work through
as far as like having our voice, or what do you
basically just... yeah, with their voice or with women that you work with specifically, because women have so much of a different, you know, perspective and mm-hmm. the way that we're expected to be, especially in America. I'm just wondering, with your clients, are there any themes that you're noticing so far with like mm-hmm. women that you're working with?
Yeah, most of the, it's funny you say that, because a lot of things that you find with your clients, it almost reflects from you, if that makes sense. So like inner things from you. So a lot of the clients that I do work with have issues like with their body. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge thing right now with their body image. And then, yes, going back to the voice. A few of the ladies that I worked with are newly divorced. Yeah. So living not, and we, you know, we love our men, whatever, mm-hmm. but living with a man that, you know, tells you what to do, when to do it, that kind of thing. And then finally breaking away from that and being their own true self. That's some congruencies that I've seen as well too.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you mentioned that a couple of the women you've been working with, have gone through like divorce situations. 'Cause that's been something I've been talking about a lot, because I'm going through one myself, and it's been such a interesting process of yeah. like, you know, realizing how much cognitive dissonance, I should say, there was, and how much of me being like, it's fine. This is, oh, yeah. it's okay. And then being outside of that bubble and realizing how toxic it actually was.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, I even find that myself in my own marriage. God, I love Curtis, but you know, there's just certain things that I just won't deal with right. anymore. You know what I mean? And I think he loves me for that. He probably loves me and hates me for that. But I've found my voice where like, you know what, I'm not going to deal with this. And it just could be little things, right. but, you know, like, I want what makes me happy, you know, like, do what I say, you know?
It's good to, like, find a way to communicate and be assertive.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely have found my assertiveness. And I feel like more recently, now that I'm not, you know, connected to a job that kills my brain all day.
Right.
But
it's also a big deal.
Yeah, but now I'm just like, you know what? Screw this. I'm not going to deal with this. You know, I want this done my way. Or so, mm-hmm. so that's also something that I've seen with clients and in myself.
Yeah. It's always interesting striking that balance. 'Cause really like the only way that you can have effective communication and like a good, healthy relationship with a partner is if you know yourself first. Absolutely. And if you're confident in who you are and what you want and are able to communicate that clearly, mm-hmm. 'cause then it's like attracting people, not just partners, but like friendships and stuff. Once you know who you really are, you start attracting people who build that up and enable your evolution, yeah, so to speak.
Your true self.
Yeah. Yeah, and absolutely. That's a beautiful process, which is why I've loved so much talking to so many amazing women, because we're all like in this messy process of finding our own voices, especially, you know, since the election and all of the shit that's going on. So I'm interested to hear about, I mean, you don't have to get like too crazy or whatever, like whatever you're comfortable with, but that the election and like the political climate and everything in the last year has come up a lot, because so many women have cited it as being like a catalyst moment for them to go to the next level or start speaking out or whatever. So I'm interested to hear your take on all that.
Oh my gosh. Where do I start? No.
Right.
You know, the election, it not only on the women part, but just the it's Martin Luther King Day, so the black and white kind of issues. And there's so much crap like that taints our brains that around the election. So I have not like really paid attention to it, probably as much as I should. I tell folks like I like to be oblivious, and it sounds terrible, but I like don't watch the news that much. I don't like participate in like a lot of political shit on, you know, social media and that kind of stuff, because it just kind of is not great for me.
It's
But
not
in a
great for most
sense,
people.
yeah. But that guy that's our president, oh my God. I mean, he's such a pig, and it just really disgusts me that the US has come to what it has come to. And it's just really sad, and I hope that we don't have to deal with this for another 4 years.
Yeah, it's well, it's really interesting because it's like all of that, you know, politics and whatever aside, which I mean, I don't really have political conversations, especially online. I have them, but I have them with like people that are actually willing to have an open conversation, you know, because I think it's important for all of us to hear everyone's perspectives. Which gets really difficult because, you know, the way that even social media works and news works and Google and everything is that like you're constantly being fed more reinforcements of like your own views. So that works, you know, that works both ways, like liberal and conservative. We're all being fed certain, you know, so it gets harder and harder and more polarizing and harder to like talk to each other face to face. Which
Absolutely.
and I've always said, you know, it's really hard to hate a person close up. So I just like it's good for us to all lean in together and get into it, you know. But I totally understand where you're coming from with like not really listening to the news too much because there's so much fear that's like infused into it, no matter what news outlet it is. And it's always interesting to me that like that's what the focus is, which is why something like, for example, like the Women's March, when that happened last year, it was so like, oh, finally, good things.
That was dope. I wish I would have been able to go.
Yeah, me too. I didn't go last year. I'm planning on going this Saturday because I felt like I missed out. But yeah, so that's been really amazing to see. All this to say, like, it's cool to hear that conversations are happening, even if, you know, the political situation sucks, at least it's opening all of these avenues for like discussion and things to come to the surface. 'Cause
For
I
sure.
think a lot of Americans, first of all, don't see their privilege, which is a whole other conversation we could
Yeah, I know,
have. Like,
right?
we could probably do a follow-up podcast and just talk about like privilege and racism and all of the things that a lot of my peers have a hard time talking about. But it's just like with the whole Me Too movement, you know, womanhood, race, all of these things, there's so much bullshit that has always been there under the surface that I think a lot of Americans were blind to before the election.
Yeah,
And then when the
absolutely.
election happened, everyone was like, wow, this is way worse than we thought.
Right? It's still like a dream, you know, when you see the headlines, it's like Trump something, like, what the fuck? He really is the fucking president. Like, that really still boggles my
Yeah, we
mind.
actually the last I did an interview a little earlier today, and the person I was talking to, we were talking about the fact that there actually was a mourning period. So like for a lot of women especially, like that was just like, oh God, like I feel like I have to grieve and hide in a hole for at least a month.
I know. I think I cried when he got elected. I was like, are you serious? Right? This is just disgusting.
Yeah. I did too. You are not alone in that. But I mean, it is good that moving forward we can continue to have these conversations and, you know, lean into the discomfort and really try to see each other and like hear each other's perspectives. And so I'm wondering for you as a woman, of color, like all of these different things, what has been like the hardest thing this past year with everything being as it is? I know that it's not there, the struggles there aren't necessarily new, but what's been like the hardest struggle for you this past year with all of the shit that's going on?
I feel like there hasn't been a ton of struggle for me, only because I've always had, I am a woman of color, but it's always been like, I've always felt like in the middle, I'm not black enough to hang with the black folks, and I'm not Spanish enough to hang with the Latinos. So I've always felt like this kind of in the center thing where I'm kind of indifferent about a lot of things, if that makes sense. But the things that really scare me like the most, being a person of color, is, and we could have a whole conversation about this, but like the police kind of brutality, that kind of stuff. Only because I'm married to a black man, and that's one of the things that I think about every day. When my husband leaves in the car, am I going to see him later? Those kind of things are the things that worry me in this society right now. It's funny. Well, it's not really funny, but we were pulled over a few weeks ago or a couple months ago because I was speeding. And, the first thing I tell my husband, don't move. Don't do anything. Don't make any fast movements. Like, let's just sit here. And it's like stuff like that in our society now. It's sad that you have to think that way. And I don't know if you've ever, in the car with your husband, like, don't move, don't touch anything. Don't,
No, I
I don't
mean,
know if you've
like,
ever felt like that,
that's
but.
what I mean. So let's talk about it because it's something that has to go along with the whole privilege conversation. Because, like, one of the definitions of privilege is that if you're able to not think about that stuff, like, that means you automatically have privilege. And so, I mean, obviously, I'm going through a divorce, so we'll say my ex-husband, but he is also white, and I've never had to think about that stuff. It's never had to be on my brain, but I've thought about it when I'm in the car with my friends who have a different skin color than me, and it's been brought to the surface because it's like, oh, holy shit, like you're terrified if there's even a cop on the side of the road, and it doesn't even occur to me because I have a privilege that is unseen but is very much systematically built into our society.
Oh,
So it's
absolutely.
something that we have to talk about because, like, if you're not in it, you don't think about it. That's a privilege in itself.
It's definitely something that's on my mind every day, when I say goodbye to my husband in the morning when he's on his way to work. Is he gonna come home to me? What if he gets stopped? You see stuff on the news or you hear it, and with police shootings and man was unarmed, and I mean, it's like, oh my God, that could be my husband. So it's a scary thought to have, and it's sad that it is that way, but it is that way.
It is that way, yeah. And that's why, I mean, we're talking about it. It's a reality for so many people. And that's why it's so interesting that everything's so polarized because it's like, it's not a reality for a lot of people, especially if they're white. And so there's like always this kind of like, oh, well, it's not a big deal, or, whether it's anything with like racism or sexism or anything like that, it's like, it's a practice in really seeing from the other person's perspective and not turning a blind eye to it. We're recognizing that it's an uncomfortable conversation because it is, but it's a real thing. Like, I
It's so
can't
real.
imagine the amount of like, and it must be a lot of emotional energy for you to even have to think about things like that, even if you're not actively thinking about it. I'm sure it's like it takes up stress energy in your brain.
Absolutely. It's always in the back of your mind. It's always, and you're right, you said your friends are like, oh man, there's a cop or something by there. Like that, I have that fear too. It's just a weird kind of thing that's just instilled in us when we're younger. It's just be careful. My mom always said, be careful. And my parents have always been well, they were back in the day looked at differently because my mom is very fair skinned and my dad is, you know, Brazilian and they're a mixed couple. And so they've always been looked at kind of odd. I don't know as much anymore, but yeah, so it's something that has always been in my life. For you know, of course, you don't think about it, but it's something that haunts us every day.
Yeah, well, and I remember, I mean, there's been so many, and it's so awful that it is that way. And I don't remember, I don't remember which shooting it was, but it was one of the police brutality cases where someone was unarmed again, and you know, at least, and it was reported. There are so many cases that aren't even reported. And I remember seeing it on the news, and I was actually with my friends who is black, and we were both talking about it, and she was like, yeah, no, like that's something that we're taught from a young age. And that was one of the moments for me that I was like, holy shit, like I have no idea. And it's part of that whole like self-awareness, self-exploration thing. Like for me as a white person, that's uncomfortable for me because I'm like, like things are really hard and I don't want to have that conversation, but at the same time, leaning into that discomfort is the only way that we're going to change things and being okay
Absolutely.
with talking about the fact that we have a really shitty history that's bloody, you know, and terrible, and not like ignoring that. It's interesting for me because I have so many friends because I live in upstate New York, so I'm in a technically more like democratic state, but I live in an area that's like very conservative.
Oh,
So
okay.
like when Trump was elected and a lot of people were like, who are these people who voted for Trump? I was like, unfortunately, I know a lot of these people. And it's interesting because they didn't even, you know, everyone's coming at it from trying to do the best they can with the information that they have. And so no one was trying to like make our country go downhill. They actually legitimately thought that he was trying to make things better, which blew my mind in the first place.
You're like, really?
Right. But it all goes to that perspective thing of like, okay, like explain to me why. But it's always been interesting because I mean, throughout growing up, the more that I've gained perspective of people who are different from me, the more that I've had conversations with people who look more like me, I guess, and have been just blown away at the amount of like just resistance to change, you know? There's a lot of that because there's so much fear. And I think the only way that we can change that is by starting to like embrace each other and leaning
Embrace
into
and
that.
open up.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm glad we're having this conversation and we're like getting close to the end of our time. So we'll definitely have to schedule a follow-up
Oh, I
and
know for sure.
dive deeper into all of this good stuff because it's good.
It
But I would do I'm gonna finish this up with if you could give anyone out there, women, you know, I mean, we're focusing on women. I guess we're getting back to that. We kind of went on a big bunny trail, but it's okay. It's
I
important conversation, so it's okay.
know
But if you could give any advice to women there, what do you think would be the most important piece of advice that you would give?
Start with yourself. Because, you know, we have all these outside factors kind of influencing who we are. And I think the most important thing is to really find yourself and kind of fuck the standard, fuck everything else, and just focus on you. And whether, you know, you're trying to lose weight or feel better about yourself, it all starts within you. So, quit letting other people and the standard dictate who you are and just kind of be you, really.
Awesome. I love it. I've been like collecting quotes from everybody that I can make prints out of later once your episode drops, and I think your quote is gonna be fuck the standard and focus on you.
Yes, I like it.
Because
Yep,
it's good.
that's
Perfect.
it.
Trademark.
Hell yeah.
I love it. Well, Lexi, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been
Yes, Molly, this has been awesome and really awesome.
absolutely. Thank you so much. And we'll definitely schedule a follow-up and we'll dive deep into some of this other stuff too.
For sure, for sure.
Thank
Thanks for having me.
you for coming on. Have a great rest of your day, Lexi.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye bye.
Wasn't that episode so good? Thank you so much for tuning in. If you are enjoying the Rad as Fuck Women series on this Darling Rage Nation podcast, I would love for you to leave some love on an iTunes review. That just helps the podcast get out there to more people and in front of more listeners and gain more momentum. So if you've been enjoying this, if you've been getting anything from this series, I would love for you to leave a review. Another way that you can help the podcast is by joining our Patreon insiders by going to patreon.com/darlingrageinsiders. There you can get all kinds of bonus content and even access to a secret Facebook group where I will be sharing interviews and a chance for you to get interviewed on the podcast yourself. So if that's something that you're interested in, patreon.com/darlingragenation. Once again, thank you so much for joining us today. You guys are freaking incredible. Have a fantastic day, and as always, rage on, darlings.